Jesus, Son of God, we lift you up. We lift you up. You are awesome. And you know what, Lord? You live in us. You live in whoever's listening and has believed in your name. You, eternal God, dwell in people. That is the biggest miracle of mankind, of the universe. Bigger than creation, bigger than anything else, Lord. It's you, God, who can't even fit in the universe that you've created. You say that the universe can't even contain you, yet you live in us. Thank you. Thank you. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Lord, I pray that you would just quicken this word to whoever's listening, that they would be blessed, and that the biggest blessing they have is to see Jesus and to be filled with Jesus. Lord, I praise you. In your name, amen. Oh, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. I'm going to jump right in. Friends, I feel that there's a big problem going on in our Christian faith. And I'm not trying to have a message here of negativity. This is a message of life. And the life is Jesus Christ. I think what's happening, because it happened in my walk, and I think it's happening in the walk of people all over who have the Holy Spirit, who genuinely want to be Christ-like. I think that we're treating the Bible like the Mosaic Law. We're treating the Scriptures like it's the Torah. What do I mean by that? The problem with the Torah and the problem with the Old Testament Scriptures is that people were using them to just obey. And they weren't seeing the heart of God. They weren't seeing Jesus Christ. That's what he says in John 5:39. You search the scriptures thinking that in them you have eternal life, but it's them that testify of me. Friends, please, you've accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't, I pray you do, because if you do, you'll get the gift of the Holy Spirit living in you. You'll get the gift of overcoming death and never dying, and living eternally with God, and you get the gift of overcoming life. So I encourage you, please accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're listening and you've made that commitment years ago or yesterday or this month or whenever it is, but if you've made the commitment to believe on Jesus Christ, please don't make it a shell. What do I mean by a shell? Please don't use Jesus Christ as simple fire insurance. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm good. And now I want to go and live the rest of my life. I've gotten Jesus Christ in me to save me. And now I'm going to look like him and I'm going to look like God. Please. Because what you're doing without realizing it is you're now going right back to the Old Testament Mosaic Law. You're going right back there. You're going right back. Jesus warned about it. He says you can't take a patch of a new shirt and put it onto an old shirt. It doesn't make sense. You don't go to Bloomingdale's and buy a nice shirt, cut it off, cut a piece off, and then sew it on to an old shirt. You don't do that. That's what we do. If you take Jesus Christ and you say, I believe in his grace, but then you're trying your best to read the scriptures and be like God and be changed like God, that's not going to work. That's not the abundant life. That's not the abundant life. And I think that a lot of us well-meaning believers, well-meaning people, are not getting the full message of the gospel. It's Jesus Christ's salvation and it's Jesus Christ's continuation. He is our life. He is our life. And you have to understand that if you were too weak to save yourself, you're too weak to live the Christian life. And I think that what's happening is that people are shortchanging themselves because they're convincing themselves that they're not weak. And every time they see the scripture, what they're seeing is their weaknesses, and they get discouraged, or they try to be better or try harder. And what does that do? That just produces discouragement, and we end up not living an abundant life. We end up living a life where we're trying to look like God, but we're always feeling like we need to do more. That's not abundant life. That's not abundant life. Abundant life is this: recognizing that you're weak and resting in it. Recognize that you were too weak to save yourself. Recognize that you were too weak to live a Christian life, and let Jesus do his work. He saved you. Let him continue to do his work and save you till you get to heaven. Let him preserve you. Amen. Amen. All you have to do, the only yoke you have, is to worship him. Fix your eyes in him. Devote yourself to him. You're weak. It's okay that you're weak. You will stumble all the time. Don't read the scriptures to find your weaknesses, to find what you can do better. Read the scriptures for Jesus. Don't treat the scriptures like an Old Testament Torah. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, "For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God." Listen to the association. "For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you." So check this out, my friend. Jesus Christ was crucified because of weakness. Whose weakness? His weakness? No. He was crucified because of our weakness. We were too weak to save ourselves. He took our weaknesses and he was crucified and he died. The power of God raised him, and he lives by the power of God. Same thing with you. You are still weak right now. You are weak, but it's okay. Because the grace of God, remember when Paul was asking Jesus to take the thorn out of his flesh, and Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient." And then Paul said, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and rejoice in my weakness because it's the power of God. It's the strength of God." Well, this is exactly what's happening now. It's you are weak, and the same way God's power raised Jesus carrying our weaknesses from the grave, God will direct his power to you to let you live the life that you need to live so that he can let you live a victorious life despite your weaknesses. And here's your burden. Here's your only task: to worship the Lord. 2 Corinthians is chapter 11, verse 3. Paul says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Devotion to Jesus is all you need to do. If you seek to be devoted to Jesus, meaning praising him, worshiping, searching the scriptures to worship him and see him, he's going to fill you with his Holy Spirit. If you ask him, if you seek, if you knock, he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then all the things that you're too weak to do, all the good principles that you search the scriptures and get convicted that you don't do, he'll accomplish in you. He will accomplish them in you. You don't need to live righteously. He lives righteously. But wait a minute. The scripture says to imitate God, you know. The scripture says for me to live life holy. Well, all of that said, under the assumption that you have the Spirit of God living in you. All that said under that assumption. I mean, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, after Paul says what he says, in verse 4, he says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you?" Now, that is the whole principle. The whole platform is that the living God lives in you. He lives in you. And it's by that presence that you will be enabled to do all you need to do. It's not by your willpower. It's not by your thinking. It's not by your searching the scriptures and following what the law and obeying what the law says. You're not responsible for imitating God. God imitates God in you. Through you. So what am I supposed to do? You just praise and worship him. You were designed to worship Jesus. The same thing you're going to do in heaven is what you do now. You worship him. You worship him in heaven. Worship him right now. Just worship him. Just praise him. And he'll fill you up. That's God's role for us. He fills us up with himself, and then he does everything else. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "It's God that works to will and to work his good pleasure in you." God motivates you. He produces the will, and then he produces the work. We have an easy, abundant Christian life. Yes, there are hardships and there's sufferings. I know that. But that's an abundant life. And if you're already experiencing what I'm talking about, there's even more for you. You can do this all day long. You can go to Jesus and ask him to give you the faith you need right now. You can ask him to produce the fruit in you. Please, think about your life. Think about your current problems, your current stressors, your current triggers, and listen to what I'm going to say to you. Think of your current problems and tell me if the presence of God and just a couple of items I'm going to list to you wouldn't significantly help you to overcome the stressors. Listen to what I'm saying. Love. How would love help you in your situation right now? a Christ-like, powered by a Christ-powered love. Would that help you? Joy. A Christ-powered joy right now for your particular situation, your particular circumstances. Would that help you? A Christ-centered peace. A Christ-centered patience. A Christ-powered kindness. A Christ-powered goodness. A Christ-powered faithfulness. A Christ-powered gentleness. A Christ-powered self-control. How would that help you right now? Because it would. Think about how that would help you in your walk. And there's more fruit. There's more fruit. But everything that Jesus has to offer is sufficient to have you overcome in this world. Everything. Everything. So don't use the Bible as a tool to convict yourself about. Does the Bible convict us? Yes, it does convict us. But let it convict you of your worship and devotion to Jesus. We already know that we're sinners. We already know that we're sinners. The reason why the Bible tells you to live a certain life is because you're measuring the fruit of the Spirit in you. And when you don't see the fruit, it shouldn't make you say, oh, I need to go do it. Because now you're going back to the Mosaic Law. Because that's what they would do. Oh, I'm not doing this rule. I got to go back so I can get blessed. Let the absence of particular fruit in your life lead you to go and worship Him even more intensely. Lead it to go make you pray to Jesus and ask Him to fill Himself up in you more intensely. That's what it ought to do. But please, don't become one of the Christians who say that they believe in Jesus Christ, who say that it's been done for them, their eternity has been purchased, but then you go right back to a Mosaic law, you go right back to the Pharisee-like behavior. And when I say Pharisee, I don't mean hypocritical. And I know when Jesus says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, He's speaking about being a hypocrite. But you know what? I think it's even deeper than that. I think the Pharisees, what they did is they got so into the law that they missed the word, Jesus Christ. And it ended up turning into hypocrisy and other evil things. You know, the Pharisees didn't start out being a bunch of hypocrites. They started out as a revival. The Pharisees were actually a good thing. They were the people who were trying to bring their brethren back to the devotion to God. And at that time, it was lifting up the law, you know, and it was more lifting up the law to honor and worship God. But somehow, some way, they became more focused in obedience rather than worship of Jesus Christ that produces obedience, rather than worship of God who produces what they need. They weren't relying on God anymore. They kept relying on their own man-made traditions and their strengths to follow God. And they created laws for themselves, traditions and rules that took them far away from God. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't beat yourself up because you're too anxious, or you're too bitter, or you're not forgiving, or you're not pure, you don't have enough faith, or you're not interested in the things of God. Don't beat yourself up for that. Just go worship Jesus Christ and let Him produce the fruit. Let Him give you the joy of the Lord. Let Him give you the peace and the patience to deal with anxiety. Let Him give you the kindness and the love that you need to deal with your bitterness and to forgive other people. Let Him give you the self-control and the goodness and the faithfulness to deal with your impurity. Let Him help you with that. Let Him produce that fruit. You may always struggle with those things, but if you're allowing Him to produce the fruit, He'll get you through. But you've got to worship Him. You've got to fix your eyes in Him and lay aside the sin that easily entangles you and devote yourself. Worship the author and finisher of your faith, and that will get you through. That's the abundant life. Anything short of that, my friends, is not Christian living. It's Christian non-living. Really? Really? Every day I'm blessed. And you know what it is? I know that the Lord meets me every day. I actually feel closer to the Lord because I rely on Him for His power to overcome my sin nature that I feel from the moment I wake up. From the moment I wake up, my sin nature is just standing right over me, smacking me up. But God always shows up, and that's how I know He's good. You don't need a Bible at all to experience the knowledge of Christ, because He lives in you. You see, some of you may be saying, wait a minute, I don't need a Bible now. What's this guy talking about? What do you think people had when they were first going around in the early church? You think they had Bibles? You think they were carrying that around all the time? I mean, Look, the Bible is what testifies of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible's about. The Bible is, to me, another work of abundant life for God. He's given us an abundance, His Word, so we can learn of Him. But His Word is Jesus. The Bible testifies of Jesus. That's what it's about. But guess what? He lives in you. He lives in you. So that's why you can have a person that may live somewhere in Sudan or live in a third world country. He doesn't have access to any Bible, but they have the Holy Spirit and they can be just as productive and just as on fire as you who has the internet, who has the Bible, who has the pocket sword and all the applications, and you have the commentaries and you have the Google. You can look up something if you don't understand. They can have just as much, if not more than you. Because of the Holy Spirit that lives in them. It's not about the law. It's about Jesus, and He lives in you. And all you've got to do is worship Him. Worship Him, please. Lord Jesus, we just lift You up. Let a revival break out, Lord. Let a revival in the church. In the church. We always want a revival in the world. Let a revival break out in the church where we go back to the simplicity and purity of devotion to You, Jesus. Let's go back to a time where we rely on You to be the way, the truth, and the life right now, during the day, that all day long we're trusting on You and we're leaning on You. We're eating Your flesh. We're eating Your blood. We're enjoying the blood of the new covenant, the new agreement, every day, all day. We're not looking to ourselves to follow You. We're looking to You to produce that. But we're just getting lost in devotion to You. Lord Jesus, produce that in anyone that's listening. Give them a burning desire to get off this podcast and go worship You, hallelujah. Call You the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and Omega, the Mighty Counselor. Oh, Lord, You are so good. You died for us on the cross. You're the Son of God. You're the Holy One of Israel, Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Lion of Judah. You're the Root of Jesse, Lord Jesus. You're everything. We worship You. We praise You. We give You the glory. You took us from hell on earth, and You gave us abundant life, Lord. We don't fear death anymore because of You. We've overcome life because of You. We have abundant life because of You, Lord Jesus. We worship You. You are great. You are our Messiah. You're our lifeline, Jesus Christ. We worship You. We praise You, Lord God. Fill us up with You. Fill up whoever's listening with You, Jesus. You are everything to us, Lord God. We want You, Lord. You are our natural food. You are our living water. You promise that if we worship You and we seek You, out of our heart will burst out rivers of living water and fruit. And Lord, it won't even matter because we'll just still be focused on You, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, fill us up. Anyone that's listening, fill them up, Lord. Encourage them to get on their knees and to praise You and to enter Your gates in the temple, to use their imagination and their mind that You've given them to just think about You sitting on Your throne with Your cape filling up Your temple and the angels worshiping You, the cherubim worshiping You, the believers who died and were up there worshiping You, Lord Jesus. You get all the glory sitting on the throne, the slain lamb, Lord Jesus. You've been slaughtered and You still will wear the marks of Your slaughter because You died for us and You want us to know that You're still working in us. That crucifixion and that resurrection, Lord Jesus. We honor You. We honor You with everything we've got, even if it's crap, even if it's sin, even if it's dirt. We honor You with all that's in our heart and we lift it up to You, Lord Jesus, because we know that You'll lift us up. Lord, I pray that anyone listening will just be overwhelmed with the Spirit of God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome. Amen.